this past week, April 19th, marked the 25th anniversary of the Waco, Texas raid of the Branch Davidians down in Texas. If you recall that, if you all remember that, some of you may not be old enough to remember, but the ATF attempted to raid this religious organization's compound, thinking that they had stockpiled guns and drugs. There was a standoff for over 50 days. There was an eruption of battle, and there was a fire that ended in the death of about 82 church members, including two pregnant women and 20 children. And interestingly, Timothy McVeigh, who was responsible for the Oklahoma City bombing 2 years to the day of Waco, said that this was one of his motivations in the way the government handled it. With us to talk about the interesting topic of hostage negotiations is Dr. Andrew Young. Hi, Doctor. How are you?
Hi, Doctor.
And Doctor, you are the author of a book called Fight or Flight, which is a really interesting book. I just finished it this afternoon about hostage negotiations and being a crisis counselor. You speak all over the country about these things. In fact, you were just in Illinois talking to a group. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. I was in Moline and had a great time speaking with the officers and hostage negotiators at that conference.
Let's talk a little bit about what it takes to be a hostage negotiator. Is it, first of all, would you say an art or a science?
I would say it's both. You know, there's science and research behind communication skills and counseling skills and hostage negotiation specifically. This field's been around for about 45 years. As for the art part of it, I think there's an art in talking to people in crisis, and just talking to people in general. I mean, some people are able to connect well with others quickly and easily. You know, some personalities mesh and others don't. But connecting with many different types of people is a skill that can be developed, and I think it's also an innate ability, too.
You know, one of the things that you said in your book that makes a lot of sense is that police officers, and again, we're generalizing, really after so many years maybe of being on the force, they see people at their worst. They see people doing horrific things to each other, and police officers become hardened, which they have to do, and they become forceful, and they become very decisive. And those skills are not necessarily the skills of a hostage negotiator. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. I think we ask a lot of people, a lot of police officers, when they have to, on the one hand, be ready to take decisive action and, you know, protect people's safety and protect people's lives, and then on the other hand, be patient and listen and deal with the human side of people depending on the situation.
Now, let's start with what we'll call them the perpetrators, the person who maybe is barricaded in a house or is threatening somebody, or in some cases that you talk about in your book, people who are threatening suicide. But what is it? Is there a typical personality of somebody who is in crisis and who calls someone like you to the scene here?
Well, the situations are so varied, it's hard to say, but I think crisis has an effect on people in many predictable ways. You know, to be emotional means it's hard to be thinking through and cognitive. And then there's the motivation. Why are we here? You know, is this a bank robbery gone bad, or is this a suicidal person who's just had the worst day of their life? In that regard, it's across a large spectrum, and so it's hard to pin it down to one or two categories.
Is it important for you as a hostage negotiator to understand the person? Meaning, okay, do we have a sociopath here who is a manipulator, who doesn't play by the rules, kind of lacks a moral compass? Or is this somebody, like you said, who just had a really bad day and is so emotionally distraught that he wants to maybe take his own life and take someone with him? Is there a difference in how you handle those situations?
Oh, very much so. I'm the psychological consultant on our hostage negotiating team, and one of the things that I'm listening for connects to all this, and that's figuring out who you're dealing with. Why are we here? How can we help them? What's motivating them, etc.? And I'm also listening for the best way to respond to them and to talk to them. The person is a sociopath, and you want to identify that pretty quickly, because that conversation is going to be very different than talking to your everyday person. It's going to require a different set of skills from the person on the phone with them. Now, this is one of the points that I talk about when training negotiators. It's very helpful to have a knowledge of psychiatric conditions and disorders so you can identify quickly who you're talking with and then use the appropriate skills and approaches that are probably going to be appropriate for that individual.
Doctor, when you said it is important because you need to change up your skills a little bit, the tools you use, how is it that you find out who this person is? Are you doing a background check as quickly as you can to see if he's got a history, or talking to family members to see if there's someone who, is he taking drugs or has he been diagnosed? Is that what you're doing to get a grasp on it?
Yeah, hostage negotiators work as a team, so we have a number of people trying to get background information on the person we're talking to, and then there's listening to the person themselves. And it's amazing, if you can listen to somebody, you can learn a lot about them. It sounds kind of, trite and simplistic, but very quickly, if you're listening to somebody, you can figure out how to talk to them and hopefully find a resolution.
We're talking to Dr. Andrew Young. He's the author of Fight or Flight. He's a crisis negotiator, a hostage negotiator in Lubbock, Texas. We're going to take a break. And if you have any questions for Dr. Young, give us a call here. It's a fascinating topic. 312-981-7200. We'll be back in a minute. He was a hostage. We're talking to Dr. Andrew Young, who is a hostage negotiator. This week marked the 25th anniversary of Waco, Texas siege, where 84 people were killed. Dr. Young, a hostage situation must be law enforcement's worst nightmare, because you not only have a perpetrator, but you also sometimes have innocent people who are in harm's way. Let's talk a little bit about the tools you use to talk to people who may have a hostage and are in a crisis mode. What are some of the tools you use?
Well, I think first and foremost is being a great listener. This person is here, and they're probably not here as part of a plan. I imagine they're, in crisis and trying to figure out just what to do. I think another good skill is being conversationally generous, letting someone talk, not stepping on them, not preaching to them. And then, of course, being calm and not taking things personally. If you're talking to someone who's very angry and even taking their anger out on you, then I think it's helpful not to take that personally. And in my experience, calm is contagious. If I am low-key and not rattled, that brings someone who's in crisis kind of down to me, and I think that helps the situation and may even help people stay safe on the inside.
And again, this could be perceived, and I've heard people say when you watch the movies and the hostage negotiation that you're going soft on the person and but that's really not the test, and that's not what we should be looking at. We should be looking at results, right?
Right. Now, I think that's exactly right. All the TV shows about a detective trying to get a confession out of a murderer and goes in there and yells and screams and carries on, I think that's the quickest way to shut somebody up.
Right. And how is it that you get to what the person really wants? What are the tools that you use? Obviously, you were saying you listen, but are you asking questions? Are you trying to get to the bottom of why the person is upset, because he lost his job, because his wife left him? Is that important to the whole conversation?
Very much so, and I would say that's the focus of the conversation. And, to be empathetic and to listen and to use listening skills, to be patient, to be respectful, to be calm, that allows someone to get talking. And then hopefully from there, that person will feel understood and like somebody in this situation is trying to help them out. And once they feel like that, then maybe we can move to some problem solving.
Do you face each negotiation as if it's fixable, meaning, do you ever come on the scene and say, this one's not going to go well? Or do you say to yourself, I can change the scenario here and I can get this guy to do what we need him to do?
Yeah, by nature, I'm optimistic, but I think it's also helpful to be realistic that there are going to be some situations that, are just perfectly impossible and there's not much we can do to stop them. And I've been in those myself. I heard a great metaphor from one of the old guard in our profession, Vince D'Alfonso. He said, we try and help people land the plane. We give them every opportunity to land the plane, but it's really up to them to land the plane.
Right. Is this a common scenario? So, for instance, I know it's hard to say because you've got Chicago, which is a big jurisdiction. You're in Lubbock, Texas, which is probably medium-sized. But do most police departments have a need for somebody with these skills?
Yes, very much so, especially if you think about it broadly. You know, the skills of a hostage negotiator may be used, you know, every week or a couple times a week in a large city like Chicago. But those skills that make a negotiator good can help make a police officer good and be used in a domestic dispute or a person who is suicidal, you know, that it doesn't have a gun. So those basic skills, I think, are very beneficial to any department and any officer, you know, though I'm a little biased.
In your book, Fight or Flight, there's plenty of examples of suicide attempts and people who are on bridges, literally on bridges, with their arms outstretched and ready to jump, and how some of these negotiations have really helped. But they're frightening to even read about them, I'm sure, let alone be there. It must be stressful for you to do this.
Yes, I think one of the things that helps it not be stressful is to be focused on what's in front of you and the conversation at hand, as opposed to, oh no, how's this going to go, or how am I doing, or how are people judging me? And then it's after the fact where you really get to digest, you know, how difficult and even horrible some of these situations have been.
Let's just do it real quickly, and I don't want to over dramatize it, but let's just say that I am very angry because I was just fired from my job, and I'm at the workplace. Mm-hmm. Everyone maybe has gotten out except for two employees, and I have a gun, and everyone knows I have a gun, and I'm holding them hostage, and you come on the scene. What's the first thing you do?
Well, I'll introduce myself. Hi, my name's Andy, and, you know, I'd really like to know what's going on in there. I'm worried about people's safety based on what I've heard about what's happened so far, and I was wondering if you can tell me what's going on.
Well, I got fired, and I'm really upset, and these two people are going to pay for it because someone's got to pay for it. And you know what? I'm just really not going to live very long, and neither are these people. I'm going to show everyone. I'm going to show everyone that you don't fire me. So then what do?
You want to make these innocent people pay for something that happened to you?
Well, why not? I was innocent. I got fired. That's not fair.
It's not fair at all. It sounds like you're quite angry about being wronged in this way.
I hope everyone gets sued. I hope the employer has a big lawsuit. He deserves it. He didn't treat me well right from the beginning. I deserve respect.
Well, I'd like you to get that message out. Have you looked into trying to get this guy sued and have people understand what's been done to you?
What do you mean? Sue him?
I mean, You said you wanted to see him have a lawsuit. Would you like to do that? Is that going to help settle this matter for you?
Well, but if I hurt someone, it's going to be a bigger lawsuit. That's what I'm thinking.
Yes, well, I think you're right. We don't want anyone to get hurt, especially people who really didn't have a part in what happened here in the first place.
You know what? I don't care about them. All I care about is myself. That's all I care about.
Okay. Well, and I totally understand that. And, you know, I'm here to listen to you and trying to help you figure out what's the best way forward in this. I'd hate to see you, you know, get hurt any more than you already have been.
Okay. So we engaged in that a little bit. At some point, and this is what you see in the movies, Dr. Young, where, you know, maybe there's a negotiation of, why don't you, you know, if you want cigarettes or you want food, I'll bring you pizza, I'll bring you food if you release one of the hostages. How do you do that? How do you address that?
Well, I don't want to introduce that because there's a good chance, just like what we saw here, this guy's not interested in anything like that.
Right.
So I'm going to start with what does he want, what does he need? And in the case we just did, he wants some justice. It sounds like he may want his story out there. He wants, you know, these people to be sued. So maybe we can start there as opposed to, you know, $1 million in a helicopter.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Interesting. I would like to continue, but we have to take a break. And I guess I would like to say that I think I would calm down. Andrew, you are very calming, and I think I would have let the hostages go, and I would have come out and been just fine. So, but probably arrested and put in jail.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Andrew Young. He's the author of Fight or Flight, which is a great little book about hostage negotiations and how, from all different standpoints, from the victims, from the police officers, from all standpoints, and how the emotions run and how these things are done. I highly recommend it. You can get it on Amazon and at bookstores. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Young.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Take care.